This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And welcome back to the Final Inspection Show, brought to you by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove, along with David Hobbs Honda. Joining me at Road America, it is Boris Ed, who's running a Trans Am series this weekend. Boris, welcome to the show. Appreciate you joining
us. Yeah, thanks.
You've been running here for many years. I was just talking to my buddy John, the photographer here. The first time I saw you was in a near street stock Mustang, a white Mustang. And I was trying to remember if that was like a Firehawk series or what series was that, about 1991 maybe?
I think that was World Challenge series.
World Challenge, yep. Okay.
The first time I came here, I think, was 88 in the Corvette Challenge when we raced here.
Okay.
And, I mean, this track is one of the best in the country. Yeah. It's a fantastic place.
Well, you certainly got my attention, because you were ringing out that Mustang. It was a Fox Body Mustang, and we were in turn 14, and you were just tearing it up. I'm going, who is that guy? And you got my attention that day. So I've always been a fan since then. So, and of course, you know, as a racing historian, your father raced in that. But you've had quite the eclectic career, and I was joking at Max Pappas on last year, and we were kind of joking how is there a situation with you and you and Max taught these NASCAR drivers too well how to race road courses, or what's the deal with that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, they never really took it seriously in the old days, and so when they started getting us in their cars and showing them, I mean, I liked doing it, you know, because I wanted to go more stock car racing, so I figured it was a good end to learn the cars, and, you know, when I went oval racing, I could ask them for help. So, you know, I taught over 35 cup drivers over the years, you know, before they discontinued testing.
Right.
And it's like showing a duck water. You know, once you tell them a few differences between oval and racing, I mean, they pick it up, and now they take it seriously. And I've always said the NASCAR guys are the best in the business. I mean, for the simple reason, they're in a car more than anybody.
Right.
You know, their races are longer. They have more races. So they're always in a car, and they're some of the best drivers in the world.
I've always said, you know, one of the things I think that would hurt young drivers nowadays is a lack of seat time, or they're so pinned down and going in one direction that, you know, not the guys like Mario and AJ and Parnelli that would race everything, and even you guys. And, I mean, is that something that kind of helped you where you didn't have any conceptions of where you were going to go racing-wise?
From the first time I saw a race car on the track, I just wanted to do it. And I didn't care. If I got an offer to drive anything, I would just take it. So, you know, I mean, some years I drove over 14 different series, you know, one-offs here and there doing stuff. And
sure.
And I always thought it was a challenge, and it was just fun. I mean, to race a go-kart or to race at the Daytona 500, it's the same thing. You're racing wheel to wheel, and it's just a blast. But, you know, as a driver, you know, going up through the production car ranks, you know, when you get a chance to do Trans Am, that's a real car. And then you're like, you set your sights on something faster. And I always thought, well, maybe if I could try NASCAR. And, you know, I got the opportunity and did a lot of years in NASCAR, and, I mean, that's the best in the business. So as a driver, you always want to test yourself against the best guys, and that's what I always figured I'd do.
Well, what did you consider your best ride or your best race in NASCAR?
I mean, you know, I won the truck race in Sears Point 1 year. In 2010, I won the Xfinity race at Montreal in a small team.
Which I wish they – Went. I really enjoyed that race.
Oh, it was a fantastic
that
race.
One in Mexico, I thought those were entertaining races.
Yeah, that was a great race, too. I finished second there the first year behind Martin Truex Jr.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, in Cup, I had chances to win, but something always would happen. And, you know, my best finish was third on a road course. And, you know, 1 year I finished fourth at Daytona at the Pepsi 400, which was pretty cool. You know, we led 10 laps of the last 12 laps, and Tony Stewart got me with 1.5 to go. But, you know, it's tough, you know, but I, you know, getting to drive that, and, you know, I think I, you know, gained some respect. I, you know, you have a lot of bad races. You have a lot more bad races than good races, and there it's really tough. But it was a lot of fun and great experience over my, you know, 34 years of auto racing to get to do NASCAR as well as all the sports car racing I've done.
Sure. Talking with Boris Ed on the Final Inspection Show. And how did this deal come together? Because you're not racing, obviously not full time. You have other interests with the BMW dealership and whatnot. So how did this deal come together?
Yeah, I mean, I retired 2 years ago, and then last year, Poncho Weaver, who's a car builder, said, "Hey, I'm going to build a Trans Am car. You want to do a few races?" And out of all the cars I've driven over my career, that was my favorite. You know, it's old school, 850 horsepower, no electronic aids, no paddle shift, you know, no ABS, no traction control. And the cars, you know, here they go 182 miles an hour, so they're bitching cars to drive. So I did a few races. And then this weekend, you know, it just happened, you know, 5 days ago where Tommy Driessi has a blood clot in his leg, so he couldn't race. And so Claudio Burton, I've known forever, he called me up and goes, "Hey, do you want to run Road America?" And I'm like, "Yep." You know, I didn't need to think about it. So my wife says I'm not retired because I still drive a little bit, but I'm pretty much retired. But to come out and do a Trans Am car or a vintage car, I mean, I do it all day long.
Well, it's kind of nice because you get to kind of pick and choose where you want and where your schedule permits, so nothing wrong with that.
Right. And when she gets mad at me, I'm like, look, a drug dealer doesn't just get off heroin. You know, they get methadone and they wind down. So I'm kind of winding down right now.
That's true because we're going to have David Hobbs on coming up next. And what's funny with him, he's never announced his retirement. he has no interest in getting back into a race car, but he's just said, nope, I never made that statement or that, you know, press release where I'm retired. So
man, I miss the Formula One races without him. He was the best on the Formula One races. I mean, he was awesome.
I do a lot with him with the books and that, and especially here at Road America and throughout down in Indianapolis, and I can't tell you how many times I've heard that.
Yeah.
And just the fans come up and, you know, especially here, he's like a rock star, and everybody just comes up and says, "Oh, we miss you so much on TV. It's incredible." So
yeah, he's quite a character.
He certainly is.
And he was a really good race car driver.
People forget that.
Yeah, you know, he seems like he should be a comedian because that's all I really think of him as, because he's so funny.
But he's a guy who like you, raced everything. I mean, he's racing 24 Hours of Le Mans. He raced in Daytona 500. He raced in the Indianapolis 500. He's raced F1. I mean, he's done it all. So, yeah, it's pretty impressive. What's the one series that you wish you would have had a chance to do?
I mean, I guess I would say the Indy 500, but, you know, I was too tall. My legs are too long. You know, I was too old when I started, but I still love – that still is one of the greatest American races. But other than that, nothing. You know, I've been fortunate, you know, to do the 24 Hours of Nürburgring, to go over and do the Bathurst 1000 and V8 Supercar and run on tracks like Spa and Suzuka and all those great tracks around the world. I've done it all, so – you know, other than win a cup race, which is something I wish I could have ticked that box and it didn't happen, there was nothing else really that I could have run other than an Indy car. I mean, I still love watching the series. I'm a big fan.
Did you ever, if I recall, I think Tommy Kendall actually tried to do a seat fitting with an Indy car and it didn't work. Did you get that far or how did
I never got that far. I sat in one once, and like Tommy Kendall, we have really long legs.
Yeah.
You know, I remember when I got a Roush deal in 1996, you know, it was the first time I ever got in a car. And I sat in Tommy's seat and car, and I just clicked the belt, and I fit perfect. I'm like, wow, this has never happened. I mean, normally I get in, and I'm kissing my kneecaps.
Yeah, you got to move the paddles.
They're so little. So, yeah, it was too bad because Tommy would have been a great IndyCar driver.
Right.
And the problem was we could fit in them, but we couldn't crash them, and you wouldn't really ever feel comfortable. And it's like in IMSA, in the end, I was driving the wheel in a prototype car.
Yeah.
But I never fit in that thing. You know, it was just 6 inches too short, and I just never felt comfortable. I was just like, I looked like, you know, Herman Munster in a go-kart. It just didn't work for me.
Did you even have a seat in there at all, or did you just, or did you?
Yeah, I had a seat in there. It was just there was no room to move, and my legs were crunched up, and it's just hard to drive a car on the limit, especially that fast, and feel comfortable, you know.
Was it worse with the head surrounding and everything? And
not really. I mean, the head, the seats, you know, we actually had a Hendrick made his carbon fiber seat for our prototype car, which was unusual because they're so safe. But I don't mind the claustrophobic part of it. I just need room for my legs to move.
Right.
And those cars are just too small.
Is that a situation where did you ever get leg whipped really bad in a crash at all? Or?
No, unfortunately, no. I never had any leg injuries. I was always a head injury guy. You know, I've had 11 concussions and a skull fracture in my career, and that's just the way it worked out. But, yeah.
Well, that's a good excuse for your wife, right? If you forget something at the store.
I use that all the time.
There
actually.
You go.
I use that all the time.
Boris, we certainly appreciate you taking time out, and best of luck this weekend. Hope to see you again.
Thanks a lot.
Boris said on the Final Inspection Show, brought to you by Great Lakes Dragway and David Hobson.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you.
I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.